Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and the general election debacle. Is it a debacle of fire? They called it a debate. The debate that happened last night is gone. So that's the last of the sevens. But Martin, go on, tell me.
Ivan Yates shouts an awful lot, and it took from the debate, particularly for the first half of the debate, no clear winners. I thought Mary Lou was good, held her ground. Micheál Martin, if Mary Lou wasn't there, he'd have nothing to say. And Leo Varadkar didn't particularly score any points. He did say that people don't want affordable housing.
We also have our Reboot Republic host here, Rory Hermanus. Rory, what did you make of it?
What did I make of it? I was finishing my edits for my book while I was watching it.
And, get the plug in.
Well, not really, just the reality, you know, the work never stops. And for us precarious academics, I was struck by it again. You know, this, the people say, you know, oh, it's just political point scoring and there's no real debate. And I actually felt that it was just bickering. It was like bickering rather than, and of course Yeats and, you know, didn't help in terms of how he facilitated it.
He didn't moderate.
He didn't moderate it. But I was very struck by Varadkar's comments. And I've been, you know, we talk about, he says, you know, he said very explicitly, you know, I'm about home ownership and promoting home ownership. And he was pulled up very well. I think it was it by Mary Lou or was it Micheál Martin pulled him up, actually?
It was Micheál Martin
pulled him up, of course, the same, promoting home ownership, that you're not for, you know, people in social housing.
Yeah, he said you don't get it.
You don't get it. And he doesn't. And they don't. Fine Gael don't.
Actually,
and
more importantly, never mind what happened with the seven leaders, Hugh Brennan, the co-founder of Ó Cualann, tweeted right there that Leo Varadkar doesn't get it and has never gotten it about housing. And that's the man who's built the affordable houses, the genuine affordable houses. The most interesting things, again, as what happens, it wasn't what happened on the event stage or whatever it is. It was the people's reaction to it. Everybody else is going to have their prejudices, their biases and all the rest of it. Yeats had one sensible point. They've all made promises based on an economy that we all think will grow forever.
Sensible.
That was the only sensible point. That is crazy. We can't live like that. However, if we talk about this being a housing election, which I believe it is, you know, housing policies and housing, what we're going to do. If you go to the people who were talking, the Hugh Brennans and these people who know what they're doing, who've actually delivered, they don't trust Fine Gael. Second thing that was interesting was the Taoiseach quoted, said, the Peter McVerry Trust said, we're working. Peter McVerry has been scathing himself of the Taoiseach, of Owen Murphy, and how Fine Gael had performed on housing. He was careful enough to say Peter McVerry Trust. Two very different things.
But that is something that's been ongoing for a while, that the Peter McVerry Trust has been
captured,
you know, supporting in terms of the policy direction, and as far as we're aware, went in with in the negotiations beside the minister around Apollo House.
Well, the minister referred to them as our partners.
Our partners. And, you know, it's not just Peter McVerry, but other, some other housing NGOs as well who do face this challenge of when you're providing a service and you're funded by the state, that then the question you find that it's much more difficult to be critical. And, you know, you have to welcome things and, you know, the automatic, like the homelessness decreased,
but it
decreased because of seasonal factors and also, how, like, the reclassification that's going on of homeless families in temporary own door accommodation now are suddenly classified as no longer homeless.
1,600 of
them. Now, there was the punditry afterwards, and we've heard this argument before, and I think it was one of the economists that was there, and he said, look, it's not going to be a housing election because it always comes down to the economy. But that showed the class divide very clearly. There's a guy who doesn't have to worry about how much his rent costs or his mortgage costs. So it's not his economy. But for 85% of the people in this country, paying rent or paying a mortgage is the economy. It's the economy right in their face.
But there was also a report out, you probably saw, Tony, the CSO wealth report, and the growing gap between, in terms of wealth at the top and the top 10% in particular. And, like, I think Varadkar and Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, I think, have completely pitched it all wrong in terms of this idea of just pushing home ownership. They're stuck back in the Celtic Tiger model days. They think that, oh, if we get the property stuff going again, we'll, you know, get people to buy their house and yeah, that'll be all right if we give them support. And it's showing no understanding of the fundamental changes in our housing system, the way investors now control so much. The only way to get affordable housing for people across is for councils and cooperatives and housing associations to build affordable housing.
But that's the model it used to be. I mean, they used to build...
But not just social housing. Talk about affordable housing and, for...
Well, I prefer the phrase public housing.
Public housing, yeah.
It just makes better sense that it's accessible to everybody regardless of income. And that makes huge sense. So that you can move in, save for a deposit, whatever you need to save for. But the idea that housing isn't part of people's everyday economy is really strange.
Well, that was, I suppose that's where we should be moving the debate onto. The promises that have been made in manifestos, the ridiculous promises, quite frankly, of many of them. What is actually attainable and what is not? And no one who's talking about tax cuts is actually grasping the nettle. I'm kind of outraged that when we look at the tax cuts that are proposed, they're tax cuts for the rich. They benefit the people by between 4 and 10 times more at the top end than they do anybody on the median wage.
But
okay?
It's always been that way, Tony.
Martin, but it doesn't matter. The narrative is we're giving something to the squeeze middle. The squeeze middle would prefer lower childcare costs. The squeeze middle would prefer free education.
But it's an illusion. It's an illusion that a tax cut gives you something back.
Yes.
Because it gives you a few hundred quid in your pocket, maybe, or even a tenner. Or for some people, it might give them a grand over the year, or 2 grand even. But that is just swallowed up straight away if you don't have the public childcare. And this is where some of the left parties, I think, have made a mistake as well in not been very clear, saying, actually, the tax cutting agenda at any level is wrong. It is what is put us into this crisis situation. And a plug for our reboot pod, which we just had with Trisha Keelty and Tom McDonald from NERI, where we discussed this in detail around, and Tom and Trisha, you know, describe it very well around this whole notion of, if you want investment in housing and healthcare, the cost of living, childcare, if you cut taxes, you're just removing the ability to do it.
Which goes back to what we said at the very outset of this, the NGOification, as people say now, when you remove services, NGOs automatically move in. And unfortunately, then NGOs become a necessity where they step in where the state step out and they fill a void. And this is what we're doing. So if you don't think that is actually the definition of creepy neoliberalism, you haven't educated yourself.
Can I just say about
don't be so dismissive. Oh, now, I am, yeah. Tony,
let me
on.
Just say about the
not
debate.
Not everybody's as highly educated as you.
Okay, about the debate. Eamon Ryan keeps losing every debate he's in. He keeps losing every debate he's in.
I thought he actually did well.
No, Tony. You compare Eamon to the younger activists we know exist within the Green Party, the very clever, very erudite, well able to speak. He's not the best foot forward. He's
I'm not
just
saying
not.
He's the best. I just thought he actually did well last night. Yeah. Personally, I thought it was his best performance of the campaign. Yeah. And as someone who has been critical of him and has been critical of some of his, you know, strain with his, you know, the wolves and the car sharing and all these things. You know, he's got a lot of aspirational ideas that aren't very practical, but I thought yesterday he stuck very well to it. I want to move to what we're going to see. We've a week left. Week left. This is it, right? The opportunity has never been clearer. The RTE debate that's going to happen is just going to be between the Tweedles. What we need actually in the meantime is people agitating and saying, where is the left block? Where is the actual coming together? Why are we ruling out people, you know, now? Because we're hearing, you know, well, we'll talk to them as long as they rule out talking to Fine Gael. We'll rule, no red lines. No red lines. Sit down, see what the numbers give you next Sunday morning and see if there's a possibility for actual change that will give people, give the younger people particularly, who we pull the ladder up on, left them there to pay these exorbitant rents and left them there without that, and what can we do about it?
I argued about this from the start, you know, and have been banging on about it for years, that the left needed to provide a common message, a common vision, common policies that would provide a very clear choice to people. Because at the moment, it's still in the political party silos. People have to go, okay, if I'm not voting for Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, who am I voting for? One of this six parties and possibly seven independents. What are they offering? And obviously, you know, Sinn Féin have clearly situated themselves and probably most successfully have put themselves out there as an alternative to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But there's still a lack, to, in my mind, of that coherent vision of, well, here is a different type of country. Here is a vision for a country of equality, of human rights, a sustainable economy. And I still think there's time for the left parties to actually, in the last week, come together and go, do you know what, here's the seven policies we all agree on. If you want a government that prioritises those, vote for all of us.
I think that's not going to happen. I don't see it happening at all. Okay.
You have to dream, Martin.
No, but it's not going to happen this next 7 days. But what I do see happening, this is the last week. This is the last week. So that little bit of dirt that you had on TDX and that little bit of dirt you had on TDY, now is the
You're going to text Ivan with it, is
now
it?
Now is the time to pull it out of the drawer.
So text the 53106 that costs a 30 cent.
I tell you. That knife is sharp. And that's not just those who are on the periphery of politics, but I mean, that's politicians.
And events can change everything.
Events are going to...
This is the week
for it. We don't know what could happen.
Oh, no. You'll find there's gems. There are gems that are stored away for this week.
Well, what I'd like to see, both of you, Martin is obviously living in the bring out the swords and start, or the guillotines, as we like to say. But what we actually need to see more importantly is going, I say, agree these pillars. Let's not have red lines amongst ourselves. Let's talk, say, we'll talk to one another before we'll talk to them. That's a simple demand. Mm. It's very easy done. But I tell you one thing, what is very clear. Yeah, I was clear at the debate yesterday. Micheál Martin went at Mary Lou. Mary Lou went at Micheál Martin. I believe that they understand that Fine Gael are actually in decline, and that the real opposition now is between those two at the moment. Whether that means that eventually, you know, will the current Taoiseach actually even be the leader of the opposition at the end of this election? That was unthinkable 3 weeks ago. We're looking at that now. Last thing, guys, listeners, please go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. We're not viable. We keep talking about an alternative for the left. What we're doing, we're trying it, Rory.
I think that it is so important. The platform, you know, the Tortoise Shack, Echo Chamber, Reboot, you know, Disturbing the Peace. For me, you know, through this election and run up to the last year has become so important, because the debate on other media has become so, you know, just narrowed. And, you know, it's about personalities. It's not about substance or policies or articulating any sort of alternative. And I think that we've really shown ourselves. We've done a great job, and fair play to Tony, Martin, all of you for, you know, putting the different space out there, the voices, because it's going to become even more important after the election when there's a new program for government, a new government, whatever government is elected has a huge, huge obligation or mandate, will have a huge mandate and requirement from the people to address housing, to address health, to address climate, to address the issues of the pensions. And so the question will be then, how do we analyse, follow that, look it up, push forward solutions? And Tortoise Shack will need to be alive and kicking for then.
I also think that between the three of us, we represent enough views or enough segments of views.
Can I just say now, that's three men talking. We miss Rachel.
No, but I mean, in a we represent enough political views that, yeah, we'll moderate with Rachel. If the left want to get together, get the room, we'll moderate everything. Yeah. There you go.
Listen, folks, thanks for listening. Make sure you let people know we rely on you.